welcome to the Car, Sim and Race Driver Show, presented by Hugh Hattrick. Drive fast and try not to crash.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of the Car, Sim and Race Driver Show. It's been almost, I think, about just about three or four this week with me, Hugh Hattrick, and my very special guest, Jonathan Sutherland.
Hello there. How are you all doing?
It's good to see you.
I'll sort that out. Hang on a minute. There we go. Just had a bit of noise in the background there. It's almost like it's a lockdown and there's nothing else to do, isn't it?
We've been banished to our rooms and all we can do is podcast and live stream. But tonight we're heading out on YouTube and also on our Facebook page, the Car, Sim and Race Driver Show. So welcome to all our guests, to all our viewers and all our listeners to the show. It's great to have you with us. Of course, you can comment and we should this time, we should be able to see them because I've been assured by StreamYard that when we stream from the pages, it definitely works. It just doesn't pick up comments when I put it to my own page or my own profile. And that's why we couldn't see the comments the last time. So this time we've got it set up properly. So feel free to comment and give us what you, a good idea of what you think of the show. And on tonight's show, it's kind of veering away a little bit from motorsport, although I'm sure we'll talk about that a bit later on. But as the coronavirus has caused chaos around the world, and especially in car dealers, we thought that we would have a little look to see what kind of deals are out there. And my goodness me, there are some incredibly cheap cars out there tonight. So if you're looking maybe in the next wee while to get a deal, then you are watching the right show. Now, Jonathan, I know you sent me a text earlier about a car that you think is a fantastic deal. Why don't you start it off?
Well, yeah, I mean, I've been looking at a couple of cars. The one that struck me was, obviously, at these times of terrible need, you need to take advantage of some of the deals out there. And for any listeners, you'll be absolutely delighted that the Ferrari 812 Superfast has now dipped below the £250,000 mark. So that's quite exciting. So you're getting 789 brake horsepower, 0 to 62 in 2.9 seconds for £249,000. And there's a beautiful one at JCT 600 at Brooklands, where we just were a couple of weeks ago. And that is in beautiful black on black with black leather. It's only a year old, just a few thousand miles on the clock. That's £255,000. So absolutely amazing deals there on the Superfast. Those cars were, they've probably come down 15, 20% in value. So for any of our listeners who are looking for a nice nippy little runabout, the 812 Superfast, absolutely brilliant.
But it is incredible because, I mean, when you look at the last 30 years, classic cars, especially Ferraris and things like that, I mean, they have gone up in value substantially, even like the Enzos and really pretty much all of them, apart from maybe the cheaper end, like the 355s. But now actually to try and find a really good 355 is quite rare. And I was watching the Barn Hunters where they found, I think it was a 275 GTO, I think it was, that had been sitting in a barn for 30 years. From the 70s right the way through, and it must have been about the 80s or 90s actually, and it was only found a couple of years ago and they put it through to auction. Now at the time that car cost about $70,000, which was a lot of money back in the 70s and the 80s, but it's now worth sold at auction for $2.5 million.
Yeah, it's absolutely amazing. And even the stock cars, like the 355 that you were talking about, I seem to remember that was about an £85,000 car when it was launched in the mid 90s. To get a really clean, low mileage one now, you're probably looking at more than that or similar kind of money. So, okay, with inflation, whatever. But if you'd kept that, you really wouldn't have lost a lot of money on it. And as soon as you go to anything vaguely specialist, like the Pista or a Stradale or a Challenge car, then you're probably looking to, made money on it. Of course, it's just a case of actually getting one of those cars. You need to go down to your dealer. You need to have a good relationship with Ferrari to even have a chance of buying one. So,
I think something like, to be fair, the 812 Superfast, I could see that going up in value in years to come because it's such a fast car and such an incredible machine. I can't see that, losing a lot of money because it's the kind of thing that people, especially as, as things go electric, people will want these kind of V12s and it's kind of amazing V8s to be able to have at home, and especially the celebrities and people like that, or folk who've got a bit of money who want to have that kind of car. I think in 30 years' time, that could be worth a fortune.
Yeah, I think that's a great car. There's no doubt about it. Some of the bigger engine Ferraris really do go down in value quite a lot, though. I think the, is it the 612 Scagliettis? You can get those pretty cheap, but that was a pretty ungainly looking car. Yeah. And the depreciation on the FF model, the sort of four-door Ferrari, is spectacular.
Yeah, I mean,
you can spend 300,000 on that and 2 years later get 100,000 as a trade-in. I mean, that is a quick way to lose 200 grand. Yeah.
What a great car to buy if you're buying that secondhand. I think it's an amazing
A lot of value car. There. A lot of value. Yeah. Yeah. So for listeners who, you know, perhaps want a four-door car at, on a budget, then, you know, the Ferrari FF would be what we would, what we'd recommend. But I know everyone can't afford this kind of level of car, you know, for a lot of people at these hard times, $750,000 or £250,000 is a lot of money. So I did some more research. And what I am absolutely desperate to get, this is my favorite car, sort of a budget model, is the McLaren 720S. That is now available for a budget below £150,000. So, you know, if you are on a slightly tighter budget, that's the car for you. Still 710 brake horsepower, equaling the 0-60 time of the 812 Superfast at 2.9 seconds to 62. That car, and I listened to Chris Harris talking about this car with the designer. The designer who made the 720S thought the car was going up against the LaFerrari, thought it was going up against the 918 Spyder from Porsche. Mm-hmm. And the car was engineered to that level, with that level of performance. And when it was launched, I think at about £250,000 to £300,000, he couldn't believe it. When he was designing it, the specification McLaren gave him was for a car to equal the sort of million-dollar cars that Ferrari and Porsche are putting out. And he was just staggered that the car was produced for that money. And the fact you can get one now, low mileage, for £149,000 is completely astonishing. It really is. So I do recommend people to go and have a good look at your McLaren dealer and maybe pick up a 720S at the minute, but not before I do.
But even on cars that were slightly cheaper, for example, I saw a year-old example of very low mileage, the Alfa Romeo Stelvio Quadrifoglio, which is a fantastic car, that they're 80 grand brand new, but one with literally a few thousand miles on the clock was going for £53,000. Nearly 30 grand off. And it really started. And I thought, actually, that is a phenomenal car for
that. And what's that getting you these days? A mid-range X3 or something? I mean, X3 with a few options on it, I don't even know what it is, but they've got to be knocking on the door of £50,000 now. And with the Stelvio, you'd be getting that amazing V8.
510 horsepower.
510 horsepower, the noise, the sound. And apart from the fact that you change gear every time you use the indicators, or you indicate every time you change gear, it's a great car. Mind you want to take out the extended warranty, I'd imagine.
Yeah, I think you might do.
That might be the best few hundred quid you ever spent. When that Quadrifoglio engine goes boom.
That's just the phone going in the background. Ignore that one. That'll be.
It might be someone. They're probably ringing you right now to get themselves an 812 Superfast. That's probably what they're looking. That'll be it. Yeah, the phones are ringing. But at the moment, what is the situation with the dealers? I've been pretty much in rural Northumberland on lockdown, behaving myself. I mean, presumably dealers are all closed. How do you actually buy these cars?
For a while, they were doing home deliveries. At Motorpoint, one of the major car supermarkets, were saying they can still do home deliveries. But then they brought out another thing saying that they've had to close. I think they've still got customer service centres open, so that if you were expecting a car, you know, that was coming in, or you were doing a deal, they would be able to sort it out and tell you what's happening, and then you could potentially go and collect it, or they would deliver it out to you. But then basically everything is shut. Although they're obviously advertising online, so I imagine that that when you phone somebody like Arnold Clark or the big dealer groups, you know, like Lookers and things like that, they would be able to probably take your call and maybe pass you on to a salesman at home, and then just say, right, yes, we'll take a look at that. So maybe they are trying to do some deals, but I think the issue is it's how do you collect it, and it's because it's maybe not entirely necessary. I suppose people who maybe have lease cars that are coming to an end and need to get rid of them, and who maybe can't extend them unless they've been able to arrange that, you really need to get rid of that car and then
absolutely. And I'm sure, unfortunately, with the job losses going on at the minute and the trouble the economy is in, there's going to be a lot of cars coming off lease deals or PCPs that are being unpaid. So I mean, car prices could drop even more as the liquidity in the economy dries up. Yeah, so I mean, maybe we can do this show again in a couple of weeks and we can compare deals again.
Yeah,
it's slightly irrelevant if you can actually get the cars. But
I think they would probably do it. Either they would get it cleaned and they'll say they'll have somebody out there doing it. I can't see these massive companies not having something. They're always going to want to do a deal if they can. I would have thought they'd want to do something, you know, keeping it going, but they just can't have hundreds of people coming into the dealers. But it's probably all done directly. And then, you know, and then you might have to just come and collect the car with a security man or something or whatever. But no, it's quite a thing. But for example, on the other scale of the market that we've been looking at, then some of the deals are really incredible because, you know, we think that Dacias are cheap and are good value for money and they don't really discount. But there's one company that certainly is discounting like nothing else at the moment, and that is Fiat.
Fiat discounting? Yeah. Since when have they ever discounted? I've never known that.
Pretty much since they started, but
since 1902, yeah, whenever it was the first one rolled off the production line in Turin. Yeah.
But for anyone who's watching that is older than maybe 30 or 40, to be fair, and you might remember, possibly might remember, the wonderful car called the Fiat Maria. That was a kind of, it was a tipo saloon or a kind of, well, yeah, it was the, or the, was it at the time of the Bravo? Yes, it was at the time of the Bravo, but they had the Bravo, the Brava, and then they had the Maria saloon. And they put a 2.4 five-cylinder petrol in that, which was actually quite a fast car. Well, they've made what looks almost identical to it, which is the tipo saloon. And it's launched now. Now, normally they're about £15,000.
Because that did so well with the Maria, didn't it? The car that no one can remember, no one ever saw one, and no one even knows what on earth it was.
Yep, but you can look it up. I'm sure you'll see it on YouTube or in the history on Google. We'll bring you pictures. Well, they've got the Fiat Tipo Saloon, and it's actually quite a stylish car. They've got some great colours. You get alloy wheels, and I saw one. It was called the Street Version, and it was a 1.4 petrol, right? Have a guess. It should be 15 and just over £15,000. Have a guess how much it was.
Half price. 7.5.
Not quite. 10.5. 10.5 for a brand.
There'll be more to come on. I'm going to have to look this car up now. Yeah. It's called the Fiat Tipo Saloon. Has it got some other special name?
Yeah, I think it's the Fiat Tipo Sedan or something or saloon. But
why have they done this? I mean,
I mean, it's got a massive amount of boot space and all the kind of bits and pieces you get with it. There's also another one, the hatchback version of the Tipo, of the same one, I think it's called the Street. So it's actually a very kind of nice, sporty looking car for £9,500 pre-reg.
Yeah. And Hugh, I'm trying to think of the cars that I can remember you owning. So it started with the Fiesta, and then there was a Polo. Some point there was a Rover, maybe two Rovers. And then there would be a Nissan Sunny, and then there would be, I'm trying to think, you've had a Citroen, but I don't remember you ever owning a Fiat. Yes, every time you ever talk to me, you always say, oh, what's this great thing as a Fiat? And of the, I don't know, I can't think of them all, but maybe 15 cars that you've owned, probably more than that, maybe 20 cars you've owned. How many Italian ones have you had?
None.
Yeah, every time he comes up with the deal of the week, it's an Alfa, it's a Fiat. But where does the hat trick money go? It never goes the way of Italy.
Into France, doesn't it? It tends to be Citroën. But
yeah, you've had a lot of Frenchies, yeah. And Tipo Saloon.
But we actually looked at one as well. That was the 1.3 turbo diesel Tipo hatchback, and it was only 2 years old, and they wanted £8,000 for it. I think it was just a shade over eight. And that's a fantastic. That was the lounge version as well, which I thought that was a bargain. But no, you won't see one really for under maybe £6,500 to £7,000. And that's like on a 66 plate. So I can't, you know, it's not taking a big drop once you buy it. I mean, once you buy it £9,000 or £10,000, they, you know, they're holding the money reasonably well. It's not a big drop, you know.
Well, I'm just looking at this new Fiat sedan, and actually it's a really good looking car.
Yeah, you get, they've all got really nice colours. Arno Clark had red, metallic red, like a kind of alpha red, and black wheels. And it was at, you know, for £10,500, that's the one I saw for sale. Absolute bargain.
But you need a decent spec. You need those dual colour kind of wheels. You can't just have a basic wheel with a sort of plastic cover. That would look dreadful. Yeah, but some of the ones are, goodness me, yes, goodness, £10,999 for a Tipo Saloon, black with those, white with black wheels. But the grey looks really nice. It's got a very strong grey, and it's got a dual colour wheel. It looks really nice.
Yeah,
really nice. Yeah. I can't actually argue with that. That is a good looking car. Yeah.
I will, for the benefit of the viewers, while you're hosting the show there, Jonathan, I will very quickly get this, and I'll be able to share it to the screen so everybody can actually see it, and we'll see what we can come up with.
But, I've got a little picture of it there. It looks really stylish. It almost looks like a little Mercedes C-Class, but actually better. It's better, better proportioned car.
There's a Tempra on Auto Trader.
Your Tempra. That was your dream car. That amazing Tempra 1.6. That was the car you spoke about very fondly for many a year, that terrible red Tempra. The fastest car in Berwickshire.
Yeah, there you are. Look, there's a red one here. I'll put this one on. I'll click into it. And then I will, with a bit of here we are. Let's be a wee second. Now, obviously, our listeners won't be able to hear that when it goes out on the podcast, but all our viewers will be, and I'll just be right here. And here we are. There you go. It's right there. It's a 69 plate, 1.4 street in red with black wheels, 10,700. That's another one. That wasn't the one I saw earlier.
So tell me, Hugh, why aren't you buying this car? Because you've got a small Renault Clio. That would be a nice car to make it a slightly bigger car. At a very competitive price. So what's stopping you taking the plunge?
Well, it's the white. So there's, I'm not having a Fiat.
Yeah, one of these days is going to have an Italian car, viewers. He's the biggest sort of salesman for Italian cars, yet has never, ever owned one. Just likes to watch other people get one and then hear about their stories of breaking down inside the road and monstrous depreciation.
I know, it's something else, isn't it? It is quite funny. I'll show you the one that I saw. That was the one that might possibly be a goer. That's cheap. Actually, it's one for $6,500. Here we are. It's just coming up now. Now, it was... Yeah, it wasn't that one there, actually. I think it was... I'm sure I've seen one that was cheaper than that. But you can see the one at the top, which is a black, as a 17 plate, actually, a wee bit older. The one I saw was on an 18 plate, but hardly any. In fact, it was similar to this one. I don't know if you can see that one there. It's just coming up in a wee second. Here we go. Can you see that one? Is it coming up?
I can see that one.
Yep. It was one similar to that, but it was just 8,100. And it was an 18 plate with very low mileage on it. And that's a bargain of a car, because that's the lounge. So that's got everything on it. That's got the tiny wee sat-nav. And all this stuff.
A tiny screen that's smaller than my iWatch.
It's got the better diesel engine as well. You get actually a lot better economy out of that than the 1.6. So there you have it. That's a phenomenal deal for our readers there. I think that is quite a good car. But now I'll come back to StreamYard. There we are. But so it just shows you what is out there on both sides of the market. It's quite something. But then hot hatches are cheap. And you know, even standard hatchbacks are cheaper than all these kind of mini SUVs.
Oh, good. Yeah, well, they're terrible things, aren't they? You
know, ridiculous amount of money for. Now, have you seen the new Ford Puma? Because I've seen one or two driving about.
Yeah, I've seen a couple of it for reals. It's a car I just don't know about it. I'm just not sure. It's not something that appealed to me, but...
When I saw it in the pictures, I thought, oh, no, that looks terrible. It really did not. It looks awful. But when you see it in the flesh, it's actually quite a nice car. And it gets a very good write-up. And similarly, it's quite a decent car to drive and handle. But again, there's a bit of discount on them at the moment. But I think there'll be a bit more. But like for something like a Focus Active, which is kind of like their supposed, it looks a bit rougher, a bit tougher. The cheapest that I've seen was $17,500. For a new one of those, that was in a dealer's forecourt, and I mean that's twice the price of the Fiat. Now you may well claim it's twice the car, and more than twice the car of the Fiat, but I mean it's a lot of money to pay, and I mean that's just going to drop like a stone in value. I mean I could see that going in a year's time at Motorpoint at like 11,999 or something. You know, it's just gonna, and if you've got one of those to trade in, you're going to be in serious trouble with the finance company over.
Well, I think the problem with leasing is a real problem. I think there's going to be a huge amount of negative equity on these PCP deals that are coming to an end. In fact, a member of my own family's taken a car back, tried to get rid of their car halfway through a PCP, and normally you've got some equity in the car, and the car is booking £9,000 less than the guaranteed minimum value. And there's still 6 months to go on the PCP. So how on earth there's not going to be a massive financial crash when all these cars come off PCPs. And that, if you've got a little bit of cash in the bank, is the time to move in or get some private finance and pick up these cars in a fire sale, because it's actually frightening. And that was before the problems with that we've got at the moment really started to kick off. So it can hang on for 6 months or so. I mean, you're going to be able to get stuff for absolute pennies.
Well, I mean, premium stuff. On a PCP, there's a guarantee of the value. As long as you've kept to the mileage and the car's in proper condition and it's been serviced and so on, then they guarantee that you know, that final price, that trade-in price. So it's going to be the finance company going to take the hit.
They're going to take the hit in the end. But in order to get that guaranteed minimum value, you have to wait to the end of the PCP, apparently. In this particular one, maybe not every PCP is like that, but if your car is booking well below the guaranteed minimum value, you can't chop it in midway through. And apparently this hasn't really happened before, because the value stayed high, but the value's absolutely crashed and cars are massively below the guaranteed minimum values, as is this particular vehicle I'm talking about, by £9,000 below. So, I mean, the finance company are going to take an absolute bath on that. And if every car that comes in, they're losing £9,000, then these finance companies are going to get bust. I honestly don't see how they can keep going. So, and that's going to be the end of PCPs for good. So expect the car market to change out of all recognition in the next 18 months, I would say.
Yeah, I mean, back to normal, higher purchase and things like that. Probably that'll be the only finance you'll get on them, or the bigger deposits on a PCP. It depends as well how well the market bounces back. You know, if how well people are getting paid, and especially when, you know, with all these kind of government hand, you know, the kind of help services to try and keep people getting some kind of money coming in the door. But it does show you that if people haven't put money aside and saved anything, then they're in real trouble, because they're you know, they're going to be relying on whatever £150 a week or not even that to try and keep themselves going, and that's going to be pretty tough if they've got rent and a mortgage. Even with the issues that are happening, certainly in Britain. But across the globe as well, it's going to be pretty severe. It's whether or not, how quick can they come back from it all, and how long will we be ultimately in lockdown? That's going to make the difference.
Yeah, and what is the inflationary effect going to be of all this government spending? I mean, I'm astonished the way that the banks in Europe, and I'm sure America's done the same, but in Europe, the way that the European central banks basically printing money to buy their own bonds at a negative interest rate. I mean, that is a Ponzi scheme, and it can only go one way, which is surely going to lead to bankruptcy or hyperinflation or both.
Yeah. Well, some people have said this could be the end of the EU, to be fair, the way it's running, because it's, you know, a lot of the countries inside it don't want to go on with what's been happening and want to make their own way and do things differently.
Yeah.
It's going to be interesting as to how that all works out. Of course, all the car market, you know, the car
factory could be
as well. So nothing's being made at the moment. So the stock's going to dry up. So once things get going, it's going to take a few months just to get everything running again and get cars coming in. So, yeah, it's going to be a very, very interesting time. But as you say, I think there's going to be bargains. And, you know, I was kind of thinking, I think we were getting to a point where most cars were quite overpriced again. Because it seems to, you know, run in kind of, in rhythms, or, you know, it's kind of, you get for a while where the cars go up, you know, then there'll be a time when there's big discounts and some great deals, and then there's either a slight crash or whatever. But I've been thinking over the last few years, prices have gone up quite a bit, and you're not always getting a great car for money in certain sectors. And I just think this might level it out a bit again. I think they'll be really keen to get as many registrations as they can, and therefore they'll be throwing money at it. So we'll start to see the kind of margins reduced, I think. In terms of what they normally would be prepared to take off a car, and I think there could be some fantastic deals coming.
Possibly, if the companies survive, because I listened to somebody saying that if Ford Motor Company was to be reclassified today, basically by the market, it wouldn't be a car manufacturer, it would be a bank with a car manufacturer on the side. Their loan book from Ford Money, Ford Credit, is basically the entire company, and the motor company simply produces cars to allow Ford Credit to work as a bank. So if all these PCPs take a bath, then I mean, are these companies even going to survive at all? Are we going to need cars in the future? Everyone at the minute is working from home. We're doing this over StreamYard, more and more meetings that I've had have been on Zoom. Do we need, I mean, I think the car is sort of beginning to sort of become less relevant. I mean, for some people, obviously you need it, but for more and more people, look at Zoomers. They don't even drive these days. Half of them even take their driving tests. I mean, it's the world is just changing so fast right in front of our eyes.
Yeah, it's interesting. Although I still think people need to get out there and drive, and it's good if you can have a car, if you're in a position where you're able to, and if there's a need for it as well, then it's obviously essential. But yeah, it's kind of my thing is going back to the PCP issue. It's the potential is rather than to avoid this kind of crash with the values going down, they might just extend the PCP and say, right, take it out for an extra year or two, so people keep paying what they're paying, and that might maybe help to kind of settle it a bit. Or to kind of not be in such a position, and people might just carry on. You know, there might be incentives just to keep like an extended warranty or something like that. They might throw in because that's what they've done with some lease deals in the past when they had the problems. They just extended them after the financial crash. I wonder if they might do something like that just to kind of stop the potential for that value to be severe in terms of a debt on it. And after another couple of years, there's probably enough money in there to kind of, the market will have recovered enough that the trade-in values will be a bit stronger.
We'll see. I mean, I've heard stories coming out of California with BMW dealers, cars coming back in to the dealership with negative equity on them at the end of the PCP. And I think it just depends exactly what kind of deal that they've got and what the dealerships are doing with the low interest rates, which are going to remain low for a while, to be fair. They are putting the negative equity of the last car into the PCP payment of the new car. And you're simply building out problems here. And it just has to go bang in the end. I don't understand how it hasn't gone bang already, to be honest. Yeah. Because people just, they get used to a monthly figure. They don't really look at the value of the car, the underlying value of the car. It's just a monthly figure. They don't even maybe look at the APR percentage. It's just, what is it a month? And the finance companies are probably forced to artificially give you higher values to reduce the monthly payments. And I think it's kind of got into a race where they've said their cars are worth this to reduce the payments. And now the values are going to go like this. And all these deals are just going to go pop.
It's interesting because, I mean, the specialist, the stuff that used to be premium has held its money quite well. And that's why, you get these BMWs for $299 a month or it's a very, very small money compared to what the value of the car is. And it is, as you say, it's all based on the residual being good. But if that struggles, then that's what's going to cause the problem.
Yeah, by making so many of the damn things, then they are affecting the value. Because as you know, I used to have more premium brand cars, and now I'm quite happy to have a VW and a Ford, because there's absolutely, to me, nothing prestige about a prestige car. If you look at the manufacturers, VW, Ford, they are producing such high quality cars now that these are cars that BMW a couple of years ago wouldn't make cars of this quality. Mm-hmm. So, and everyone on the street has got a 3 Series, a 5 Series, a 1 Series, a C Class, an A Class. I'm not interested anymore. Part of the fun of having a prestige car was it was a bit different to everybody else. It showed that you had a little bit of a different taste, that you were doing quite well in your life. And now when, the nail bar technician next door is driving around in a 7 Series, well, that doesn't really do
Yeah, it's a big car for Cheryl.
It is. And, but for $399 a month, then, it's...
for 10 years.
It's a bit of a bargain, yeah. And now, with what's going on with the economy, all the self-employed people are going to have to basically get bailouts from the government based on last year's tax return. I don't think Cheryl, the nail bar technician, put all her nail treatments through the books, did she? So she's probably taking home 70 grand a year, and she's probably going to end up getting 12 grand a year from the government. And all the rest of it was just cash. Nothing against Cheryl. Cheryl doesn't exist. She's in Minecraft, let's just say. Yeah.
If she's on 70 grand a year, mind, she'll own a couple of holiday houses in Orlando. That
well, the thing is, they probably do. I mean, you've seen that that film. What was it, The Big Short, where you went and interviewed the people, and they're at a strip club, and the stripper had 3 buy-to-lets, and the guy just got his phone out and said, "Sell everything. It's over," And I think one of them was one of the houses in Orlando or something was in the name of the landlord's dog. I mean, the dog had a house because no checks were being done. Well, this is what's happening with premium cars. They're just doling out C-classes to people with absolutely no ability to pay. The banks are artificially increasing the minimum values based on the economy growing and growing. And this shock to the economy, I think, is going to devastate that market. And I think you could probably get yourself a BMW 330D for about $5,995 in about 18 months' time. I mean, I don't know.
If you've got cash, something.
If it even has any value at all. I mean, I don't know. You might end up just crushing 5 Series. No one can afford them. I've really no idea what's going to happen.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. I mean, it's the coronavirus has affected everybody, whether it be in the car side and motorsport and everything. It's just everything's come to a halt. And I mean, obviously, it will bounce back to some degree, but we just don't know how long it's going to take. I mean, with China, it's been 2 months now before they've been able to kind of slightly start opening things up again and not have any new cases. Anything that they've got, I think, has been brought in by other people.
Yeah. The
thing is, they could do all that again and start it up again, and then in turn, it could come again if they've got problems.
It could do.
So it's a real difficulty. Now, we have got some events on over the weekend. Now, tomorrow night, I will read this. Our good friend Josh Martin, who I interviewed a few months ago, now he does esports and he's taking part in a very special event. So I will get that here. It's just coming up. It's a very big event that is happening tomorrow night, and it's going to be on YouTube. But Andrew Marr and myself are going to try to commentate on it, and we learned from our mistakes the last time. So hopefully it will come out quite well and we should be watching it at the same time because there was a few seconds delay. But here we are. So if you like esports, then you need to be watching this. Some very big names and very talented drivers in the heats for the GT World Championship Endurance Race. It's a charity race on tomorrow. People like David Perel, Greco Racing, Enzo Benito.
That's a great racing driver's name, by the way, Enzo Benito.
I know, it's like you're never going to get car insurance for that, isn't it?
I know. What is your name? Enzo Benito. It's no. What would you like to insure? It is a Ferrari 812 Superfast. I don't think so.
Yeah, exactly. Nicholas Longuet and Aurelien Panis, to name a few. So yes, it's the eSport, the SRO eSport GT Series Charity Challenge. And that's on tomorrow, on the 29th of March. Now, I think there are possibly two races with that. There's one in the afternoon about 2 o'clock, and then there's another one, I think it's about 6:30. But you'll see it on YouTube, and they'll be able to sort that out. It should be a fascinating race, actually. So we'll probably try and do the one, I hope it's on at that time, maybe in the evening, but I think there's other races on. There's a few more F1 esports that's going to be on as well later on. So we'll do our best to keep you informed as to what's happening with motorsport. And of course, the big news of the week, that the Goodwood Festival of Speed has been postponed. They're hoping to still do it in about August, September time, potentially. But obviously we thought it was getting close. It was about the 7th of July when they were going to do it. So that's been postponed. And Company Car in Action. Our summer, Christmas and Boxing Day, one of the best driving events of the year, has been cancelled as well. I mean, all it was a few.
What are we going to do instead? I mean, providing we're not in lockdown, which hopefully we won't be, we're going to have to do something, Hugh. We're just going to buy some rental cars and race them around a hill route or something, or break in. What are we going to do?
Maybe we could have Company Garden Tractor in Action. I think that's the only thing we can afford.
You could get in touch with some of your manufacturers and get some cars delivered up to Dunn's, and we could just lap them around the Berwickshire roads.
Yeah, well, they need to do something. I mean, it's such a good event. So they reckon it's definitely cancelled. They're not even postponing it. I thought they might have tried to do something. I mean, how difficult would it be to get that done in September or something like that? You know, to get everybody in. But I suppose the manufacturers have a calendar full of other events that they do, so they can't all be there. But that's going to be 2021, and they're going to call it the year of the electric vehicle. So they're really trying to focus on these electric.
And they've already planned 2021, have they?
Yeah, well, they say it's going to be their best yet. But it's going to be they're going to call it the company car in action, kind of electric car special or something. But I think I think
electric cars are the future. I'm really not sure.
No, I mean, I don't think it
really has to have a major leap forward in battery technology. I mean, maybe these new they've got this new technology. I can't remember what it is. This new technology, which I think Manchester University is doing a lot of work on, making the energy density of the batteries much better. You can charge them up fully in 5 minutes, maybe get 400 miles out of them. It's just it's not practical, really.
And it costs £200 million to buy.
Exactly, and all the dangerous chemicals that the batteries are made of are mined by African children. Exactly. For the Chinese companies. I mean, nobody looks at that side of it at all.
Yeah.
And anyway, if everyone's just sitting in the houses the whole time, not going anywhere, then no one needs any cars.
I know the roads have been eerily quiet. When I went to do my shopping on Thursday, the road from here to Berwick was incredible. It was so quiet.
Yeah.
So I was in my little Clio, which is a great car, I have to say. So we might maybe do some videos, because you're allowed to drive something yourself, I think. So potentially, I don't know, but I'll have to get my little camera and put it in the car and maybe do a review of a car or something like that. To keep us all occupied and see what we can do. But I think it's interesting to see what's going to happen to the marketplace. And I mean, and it means there's discounts on every sector, every type of car. There's money off massively. Whatever, if they say they can't discount, there's something wrong, something seriously wrong.
With the lockdown, I'm on a farm, so I'm trying to get a little Honda off-road motorbike, but they're not discounting it as much as I thought. I have to say, I was hoping to get one at a kind of fire sale price, but I might leave it a week or two and see if they reduce the price. But I was trying to get one for about £3,000, something like that, and get a 19 plate one. They're normally about 4,500, but I'm hoping to get one dirt cheap. That would be excellent. Something to entertain me during the lockdown. Just do wheelies around the farm. That'd be quite good fun.
Well, you get yourself one of those with a Honda Pilot or something. You know, the kind of buggies, those kind of dune buggies that you get, and then because no one's going to see you drive it on the road, don't they? You could just, you know, the thing, it is the apocalypse when they see you driving on the road.
Well, that's where that's right. Yeah, you need something that's like done up in a sort of camouflage gear, you know, with guns on the roof. But
it'll be like Mad Max, you know, like a Fury Road, but all your put some angles on it and some bits and pieces.
I could get one of these little Honda CRF 250s. I mean, they're not very powerful, but there's no one on the beach at the minute, so all the dunes, I could just go up and down the dunes on this dune, jumps off the dunes, it'd be absolutely amazing. And if quite a soft landing, isn't it? So I think it might be owned by the National Trust, actually, but you know, tiny misunderstanding. Yeah. We could recreate the Dunsinborough Castle jump.
Yes. Yeah, now that's the thing, isn't it? I think
we're a bit bigger these days. It might not take off quite so easily. So
we just need a bit more power, a bit more engine.
I know. I might need to get a 650. Yeah, just to get it to leave the ground. But no, that would be an amazing fun to get one of those.
No, that's the thing. Well, on that note, stay on the line. But what we'll do, we'll bring the Car Sim and Race Driver Show to an end for tonight. But we will be on again tomorrow, Andrew Marr and myself, at some point, probably later on in the evening time, either for the race. I thought there was a Formula One race at 8 o'clock again tomorrow, but maybe I'm wrong. But we will get that sorted out. Perhaps our people who've been watching and listening can give us a comment and can let us know exactly if we've got it wrong. But thank you very much for joining in. Thank you to my guest, of course, Jonathan Sutherland. It's great to have you on the show.
And it's good to see you.
To all our listeners and viewers, you've been watching the Car Sim and Race Driver Show. It's time to drive fast and try not to crash. See you next week. Bye just now.